2 and Psalm 139. Genesis chapter 2 and then Psalm 139. Genesis 2, verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Psalm 139, it's on page 628. We're starting at verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
And do keep those passages open. If there's any secondary age who'd like a sheet to help guide them, I have done one for this week, so do you mind passing that back to Iris? It's just behind you there. Thank you. Great. So normally our habit as a church is to go through a book of the Bible passage by passage, but we're doing something a little bit different at the start of this year in that we're going to do a topical series for the next 5 or 6 weeks where we're going to be thinking about our bodies and what God's word says about our bodies. So today we're thinking about being created. Next week we're going to think about being male and female. We're going to think about how sin and the curse has affected our bodies. We're going to think about the future body that God has in store for us as well. Let's pray as we come to kick this series off. Father, we pray that your word would communicate to our hearts now, that you by your spirit would take all that you have breathed out for our benefit and for our growth, for our changing to be more like you. So we thank you for your word, and please help us to engage our hearts and our minds now, that we would receive your word to us this afternoon. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how often you think consciously about your body. And when you do think about it, what do you think about your body? I'm guessing that probably most of us in the room, if not everybody, probably wishes that certain things were different about our bodies. Wish I had more hair or less hair. Wish I was taller, shorter, thinner, fatter. Wish I was more attractive. Wish I had bigger muscles. Wish my body would stop going wrong. Now, as a teen, I was the smallest in my class by quite a way. I wore glasses and I had the same ears as I've got now, which are rather large and stick out. And so I actually spent quite a number of years wishing I had a different body and not liking my body at all. Maybe that's your experience. For some people, that wishing for a different body can carry on throughout the whole life. And actually, for some people, controls their lives. So we have to ask the question, why did God create us with bodies? After all, we read in his word that he is spirit. He doesn't have a physical body. And does what we do with our bodies matter to God? Or are they just incidental? Those are some of the questions we'll look at in the next 5 Sundays as we think about what God says about our bodies in his word. And we're going to start off today thinking about our bodies as being created bodies. It's quite an important topic because our society around us is very confused about our bodies. At one extreme, people think that they're not important. The real you is what's inside you, and that's what matters. Your body's just a shell. Whereas on another extreme, you'll find people around us at school or at work who obsess about their bodies and what they look like, the image that they want to portray in the world. At this time of year, millions will be taking out new subscriptions for the gym or make resolutions to exercise more because they want their bodies to be different. Or think of the boom in recent years in cosmetic surgery or the rise of tattoos. People wanted to stamp their chosen identity on their body to make a statement about themselves. And at the same time, we have people that we're living and working amongst who want to escape their bodies by living most of their life online, where they can be whoever they want to be and they can look however they want with their avatar, unhindered by whatever physical attribute they think is holding them back in life. So you can see our society is quite confused about what bodies are for. It's important that we come to God's word to hear what he tells us about our bodies. Hopefully by the end of these 5 weeks, we'll know without a doubt what our bodies are for, how we can worship God with them. So what attitude should we have towards our own body? Let's start off back in Genesis 2. That's page 4 if you've turned away from it. Page 4, if you want to look at it again. Well, we're going to see, firstly this afternoon, that our bodies are important, but they're not everything. They're important, but they're not everything. Let me read verse 7 of Genesis 2 again. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Obviously, this comes at the end of a long account of creation. And humanity, men and women, are created last as the peak of God's wonderful creation. And this verse just shows us that we consist of two aspects. We are bodies. But that body was lifeless, inanimate, until God breathed his life into it. And so we find throughout Scripture, we're told that we consist of both body and spirit or soul. Those two words are used interchangeably throughout the Bible. In order to be human, God created us to have a physical, visible body, but also a spiritual, invisible soul or spirit. But which came first? Genesis 2:7 tells us that the body was formed first out of what already had been created by God. And then secondly, he breathed life into the body. We are created to need both. To be human, we need both. We cannot downplay the importance of our physicality to our humanity. We are embodied people. That's how God has chosen it to be. Our bodies aren't to be something to be escaped from or ignored. The real you is not a disembodied thing, an inner feeling, but actually consists of both your inner spirit and your outer body. That's really different to most worldviews on this planet, most other religions. Christianity is very earthy and physical. We are created with bodies, and in eternity, we will have real, immortal bodies. Salvation is about escaping from our bodies thinking that somehow they limit us or they're inherently bad, our bodies are important. But God's word also shows us that our bodies are not everything. When God instructed the prophet Samuel to go and anoint a new king to replace the wicked Saul, Samuel seemed to be impressed by the candidates who were tall and strong and impressive. So I wouldn't have got a licking. But the Lord had other priorities. What did God say to Samuel? I think I put it on the screen, yeah. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, body, but the Lord looks at the heart. God is concerned about what we are like in character and whether our hearts are soft and open towards him and wanting to live his ways. And that's important for us to hold on to because we live in the midst of a very image-obsessed society, don't we? If you don't fit in with whatever image is the current popular image, sometimes you can be left feeling that you're somehow inferior or don't fit in. Image is very important in our society. How many of you have bought a product like me because the person in the advert was good looking? You thought, even if it was subliminally, you thought, if I buy that, I'm going to be so much more manly. And of course, I'm not at all. Or how many of us look at posts on social media and then think less of ourselves because we don't have the perfect physique, hair and teeth? And of course, we know that most people doctor their images of what they want to present online. How many of us have been judged by others because of how we look at some point in our lives? Maybe some of you were even bullied for how you look. So we need to know that although your body is an important and essential part of you that God has created, your looks are not what matters to your Creator. He looks at your heart. He sent his own son to die for your corrupt and sinful heart, to give you a new one. That's how the prophets described it. I will give you a new heart, a soft heart, a heart able to love God, a heart able to delight in God and desire to live for his glory. So God's love for you is not based on whether you fit in with what others think is good looking and acceptable. His love is actually unbreakable towards those who are his through faith in Jesus. We need to hold on to that and let his judgment heal those hurts of what others have said to us or done to us in the past because of our appearance. We can let his love strip away those insecurities maybe that we've carried around for years because of how we look. Our bodies are important, but they're not everything. And Jesus actually tells us it's better to fear God and revere him and value his word rather than fearing those who can hurt us physically. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Matthew 10. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Easier for God to do with some of us than others. Conclusion, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Our bodies are important, but they're not everything. Secondly, this afternoon, we're going to see that our bodies, therefore, are a gift from God. Turn back to Psalm 139. That's page 628 if you're using the Church Bible page. 628. Even though our bodies have been massively affected by the curse that came when the first man and woman disobeyed God, when they tried to usurp God's position, even though our bodies are affected because of that, and we'll think more about that next in a few weeks' time, there is still something wonderful about our bodies because they're the work of God's fingers. They are God's craftsmanship. Even though our bodies are no longer perfect due to our sin and the sickness and death our sin brought into the world, Our bodies still speak of God's power, his creativity, his wisdom. And David, in writing this song, Psalm 139, King David, obviously his words are not the words of someone who had a perfect life, free of trouble or sickness, someone who would not face aging and death. But he writes these words as someone who loves God and marvels at his care as our Creator and our Lord. Look at verse 13. He says to the Lord, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Despite sin and decay, our bodies in all their amazing, intricate detail are something to praise God for. See, that conclusion David comes to, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Just as we might look at other aspects of God's creation, I don't know, the billions of stars that maybe some of you look at through telescopes, or the joyful diversity of the bird world and the animal kingdom, or the vast majesty of mountains. And when we see those things, as those who know and love God, we bow in awe to our Creator, his power, his glory, what we see and what he has made. So the complexity of our bodies should lead us to praise our Creator. Last month, I had an MRI brain scan, although I wasn't allowed to see the images, disappointingly. Just the fact that the doctors can see every tiny, intricate aspect of my brain, and they did find one, so that was good news. And they know what part of the brain, tiny bits of the brain, controls what body function. It's just amazing, isn't it? As we think about our bodies in that way, it's not that we declare like the world does, "Aren't I amazing?" But no, Creator God, aren't you wonderful? Notice here in Psalm 139 that we have each have a unique body. Look at verse 13. "The Lord knit me together," David could say, "in my mother's womb." It's a reminder that our bodies aren't a blank canvas for us to stamp our own identity upon. Our bodies are uniquely given to us by a loving Creator. He wanted my hair to be this colour. He wanted my nose to be this shape, and my eyes the colour that they are. I don't need to search around inside of me to discover who I really am. I'm a creature made in God's image, body and soul, created for his glory, created unique. But also these verses tell us that ultimately our created bodies tell us of God's purpose for us. He knitted us together. He wanted us. He wanted you born. We were not hidden, verse 15 tells us, from him at our conception, as if it happened outside of his will. Verse 16 tells us even more, that before we were even born, he ordained every day of our life before one of them came to be. Now, if any of you here have ever been told that you were an accident or unwanted, or maybe you've felt those things because of the way you've been treated by others, then here's some powerful medicine to heal that pain. God purposed that you would be born and gave you the gift of life. Despite bodies that go wrong and age and die, we can still be grateful for that gift of our bodies. Perhaps you're like me, more often tempted to grumble and moan about the bits of your body that is not working as they should be. What's the antidote to that? Give thanks for the gift of our bodies to us by our Creator God. The fact that God has given us physical bodies has implications of what it means for us to be human. He's created us to be physical, physically present in a real world, in real relationships with real people. And we need reminding of that, particularly in our day and age where so much of life can be lived not in the physical, online. Yes, we can use aspects of technology to be a blessing, but we have to remember it doesn't trump our physicality. That's why if we attend home group or church in person, it's always a more encouraging and a blessed experience than watching through a screen. It's because we've been created as physical people to be physically present with our brothers and sisters. Our relationships with friends or within our family or at work, in the church family, they're not sort of functional exchanges. But they happen between real, physical, embodied people. It's why we see when Paul was away from the churches that he had planted, he knew he could write them letters, but he longed for more. He longed to physically be with them. Several of his letters in the New Testament show us this. Here's just one example from 1 Thessalonians, where he writes them, "Brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. But we wanted to come to you." He knew that writing letters was a poor second best. Well, think of that time after Paul's shipwreck when he finally made it to Rome and the believers from the church there came to meet him. Dr. Luke records for us, at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. He wanted to be with them physically. Not just Paul. The Apostle John, in his second letter, he knew that pen and paper, we might say email and text, were no substitute for meeting in flesh and blood. 2 John 12, he writes, "I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face." Why? "So that our joy may be complete." And so our God-given understanding of the importance of our bodies, the fact that we've been created as physical people, has implications for how we live in this virtual world of Wi-Fi and the internet. We have to guard about making that as a replacement for our physical selves, with real relationships in a real environment and a real church family. Also has implications for us, doesn't it, therefore, how we behave online. I don't know about you, but I find it a lot easier to vent my anger and frustration when I'm a disembodied online presence than when I'm with someone face to face. No, we're physical, created to know people. That affects how we use our online presence. And because we are physical beings, God has created touch. We are created to touch and to be touched. Years ago, I read some medical research. There's a news story about it, that some medical research has been done to show how a lack of touch affects health adversely, and the opposite. So as a church, we can use appropriate and right touch to strengthen those bonds between us. In New Testament times, and even in some cultures today, that was with greeting one another with a kiss. 5 times in the New Testament, churches were instructed to greet one another with a holy kiss. Imagine if we did that today, you'd all be running away. I once went to a church in this country where they took this literally, and the person on the door welcoming, you couldn't get past her without being kissed. On the lips it was as well. I know. But what are the ways that we can use appropriate touch as physical human beings, as brothers and sisters in the church family? That handshake, that hug, that kiss on the cheek, that touch on the arm, to express that bond of love and unity that we have in Christ as we care for one another within the church family. Maybe this afternoon, think of who in our church family might be the touch deprived through their personal circumstances. We are created as physical beings, and touch is a gift to be used in God-glorifying ways. Who can you encourage by spending time with physically? And where right, extending that right touch to? Our bodies are important. They're not everything. Our bodies are a gift, so we praise God for them. And as we give thanks for the gift of our bodies and we see their importance in God's creation, we only have to look to Jesus to see the physicality of God's plans and the worth that God puts on our bodies. We've just celebrated Christmas and read these words from John 1. The Word, Jesus, became flesh. Became flesh. He took on a real human body and made his dwelling amongst us. His body wasn't an illusion. It wasn't that he was just an appearance. No, it was real human body, just like us. He chose to be born and become one of us in order to rescue us. No higher affirmation of our physical bodies than God choosing to take one on. That's why in the first century to deny the physical body of Jesus was actually to deny him. When we read John's first letter, it was obviously an issue that he was countering in the churches, that people were saying it didn't matter that Jesus had a real body. It might have been that he just appeared to have one. But John said, no, this is really important that Jesus took on flesh. And so he had to write to them, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And Jesus showed us what God's love is like in very physical ways, didn't he? He touched the leper to heal them. He broke the bread and fed 5,000. He turned water to wine at a wedding for people to drink with their bodies and enjoy and celebrate. And then ultimately, he submitted his body to the most physically cruel death. They were real nails hammered through real hands. It was a real crown of thorns pushed down onto a real head. It was real blood that spilt. And also that if we trust him as our Saviour, we might one day receive an unbreakable physical, eternal body to live with him in his renewed physical world forever. Jesus gives supreme dignity and worth to our bodies. When he rose from the dead, he didn't return to just being a spirit. No, he has a resurrection body. He still has that body now. There is a physical man in heaven today who is God, interceding for us before his Father. Our bodies are important. They're a gift from God. They show us something of his power, his wisdom. So let's be thankful for them. Let's be in awe of our Creator. But let's also recognize they're not everything. We have souls, spirits too. We're designed to know and love our God. And God sees us as we really are. And yet wonderfully, he still loves us still. So much so that he had sent Jesus to become an embodied man, to be the Saviour that we need, both for our bodies and our souls. Let's pray together. Maybe give you a moment's quiet. Perhaps you might want to respond in that awe and praise. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Or it might be that some of the other things we've looked at, you realize you need to change your attitude or your behavior, perhaps online or in how you view your body. Maybe just a moment's quiet for you each to speak to God, and then I'll lead us in prayer.